In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So I was listening to a musician, a very young musician, just the other day, and she was introducing a song that she was going to sing, and as she was introducing it, she said this. She said, "I wrote this song when I learned how important it is to really take care of yourself and how important self-love really is." That's a phrase that is becoming more and more popular, isn't it? Just that term self-love. You maybe heard it more and more over the past few years and even decade or so. This morning, we're going to focus on what that term really means, that the idea behind it, the notion behind what self-love really is, as we look at Luke chapter 14. And as we look at these words of Jesus here, there's 3 points we're going to look at this morning. First off, we're going to look at our need for admiration. Secondly, the real problem, and finally, our all-knowing helper. All right, so our need for admiration. Let's start out with that. As we look at Luke 14, it says that Jesus was invited to the house of a prominent Pharisee, a spiritual leader, on the Sabbath day, right, on their day of worship. And it says that, that you can read kind of into the context that as the people were arriving at this place, they were choosing their seats in a very particular way. You see, back in those days, the closer you sat to the host, the more of a prominent position that was, the more important you were. Right? So they were all kind of trying to sit in that position. They all thought that was really important, that as they sat there, that people would notice that, they would look at them, and they would think very highly of them. They would think, there's an important person. That was what these Pharisees thought was really important to them, was having people view them as very popular, as very important people. Right? That's something that we all do at times. We all think it's very important for other people to think highly of us. I was just reading an article in the Wall Street Journal maybe a month ago or so. The title of it was, "Families Go Deep in Debt to Stay in the Middle Class." And while this article, it highlighted the rising costs in home ownership and in healthcare, the first sentence of the article really caught my attention as it said this. It said, "The American middle class is falling deeper into debt to maintain a middle class lifestyle." Right? And then it went into detail about some of the things that people are spending their money on these days and how so many people are going deep, deep, deep into debt just to get these houses that make them house poor and these cars that make them car poor, right? These things that they really can't afford. Now, why are they doing that? It's because they want to appear more wealthy than they really are. They want, the appearances are so important to them. They want people to look at them and think highly of them and think, yep, they've got their life together. There's a proverb that we didn't read in our Old Testament. It's a different proverb that says this. Proverbs 13:7 says, "One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth." Right here, King Solomon, wisest man to ever walk the earth, he highlights just how important it is to be good managers of what God has given you, and how some people, they think it's far more important, appearances are far more important than reality. And so they'll go deep into debt just trying to appear wealthy, to appear like they've got everything together. Whereas it's far more important and far better to appear poor and be good managers of what God has given you. All right, so what are we seeing then with these Pharisees in Luke 14 and this article from Wall Street Journal and this proverb? What are we seeing is that it is so important for us to have really good appearances. Right? We all want people to look at us and admire us and look up to us and think highly of us and think that we've got our lives together. We want the admiration and the praise of people around us, our peers, our families, our friends, our coworkers. We want all of that praise. We want that admiration. And so what do? Is we dedicate so much time on appearances, on ourselves, on making ourselves look good to the outside world. And that's where the real problem begins. Because as I mentioned in the children's sermon, that's really one of Satan's greatest tricks. Right? He tells us this lie that as long as people look up to you, as long as people admire you and think you've got your life together, then everything's going to be fine. And so we focus and dedicate our attention on ourselves, on our appearances. That's just a really good game of misdirection that Satan plays. Because as we're dedicating so much time and energy and focus on ourselves and our appearances, we lose focus of the things that are really important in this life. I just finished reading a book called Extreme Ownership. It's written by a couple of Navy SEALs who fought in Iraq, and they faced some of the most extreme conditions. They faced some of the most brutal enemies in this world. And they learned a lot of valuable life lessons and leadership lessons from their time there. In this book, they outline some of those leadership lessons that they learned. And one of them especially stuck with me as I was preparing for this sermon. Here's what the author writes in one of the chapters. He says, "Were I to get embroiled in the details of a tactical problem, there would be no one else to fill my role and manage the strategic mission." So the author, as the commanding officer of many of these missions that they were on, it was his job to focus on the greater picture of the mission, right? And if he focused on all the tiny little details, if he got caught into those, he would lose focus on the bigger picture, and no one else would be watching that. And if no one was managing the bigger picture of a mission, that meant people's lives were in danger of being lost, right? People were in danger of dying if no one was keeping an eye on that big picture. And so he's saying it's so important for him to focus on what he needed to focus on his job. You and I, at times, we focus on things that really aren't that important. We direct our attention to our reputation, how we appear to the world, on building up a name for ourselves. And when we make that our primary focus, we are endangering our lives as well. I saw an example of that just recently. So I was just reading through the news and whatnot. I ran across an example of that in the person of Justin Bieber. Right? Justin Bieber, he became famous when he was 13 years old. He signed a record label. He became a worldwide phenomenon at 15 years old. 15. And now 10 years later, he's learned a lot of lessons as he's gone through some pretty dark moments in his own life. And I know that since you all follow Justin Bieber on Instagram, this is just a review for you. But let me just read for you something that he posted. I think it was just about a month ago. He wrote this. He said, "You see, I have a lot of money, clothes, cars, accolades, achievements, awards, and I was still unfulfilled. I started doing pretty heavy drugs at 19 and abused all my relationships. I became resentful, disrespectful to women, and angry. I became distant to everyone who loved me, and I was hiding behind a shell of the person that I had become. I felt like I could never turn it around. It's taken me years to bounce back from all those terrible decisions, fix broken relationships, and change relationship habits." I think there's a lot to be learned from this. It's something that's important for all of us to understand. You know, Justin Bieber, he had the entire world captivated, right? He had millions and millions of people who followed him. He still has millions of fans. He had awards, accolades, achievements. So many people saw everything that he had accomplished. If he was there in Jesus' day with the Pharisees, he would be in that position of prominence. And yet, notice what he says. He says, "I was still unfulfilled." None of it really gave him what he was looking for. And in fact, when he focused on himself, on getting those things, it just led to self-destructive behavior. Right? It ruined his life. And as he mentions, it's taken him years to bounce back from this kind of self-destructive behavior. Friends, when we do that, when we make ourselves, our name, our reputation, what we want, the most important thing, when we focus on that, it leads to this kind of self-destructive behavior. And it doesn't just put our lives in danger, it puts our eternal souls in danger. This is something that human beings have been wrestling with ever since Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to be like God, knowing good from evil, and so they disobeyed him. Up to these Pharisees who wanted to sit in these positions of prominence and have everybody look at them and see how important they were. Up to Justin Bieber, up to you and me, right? Everybody wrestles with this. We all want to be important. We all want the praise and acclaim of the world. And if this has been a problem for so long, then what's the solution? Well, we need a helper, don't we? We need a helper in our lives, and that's exactly who Jesus is. He's our helper. That's why he came into this world. Right? Notice that these Pharisees, as Jesus comes to this party, it says that he was being watched carefully. Right? They invited Jesus to this party because they wanted to see him mess up. They wanted to hear him say something that was wrong, and they wanted to prove it and shove his face in his mistake. And so they watched very closely. But notice what it says in verse 7. It says that he noticed how they picked the places of honor. Right? The ones who were watching closely were being watched closely. The ones who were trying to notice Jesus make a mistake, they were being noticed very carefully as well. And Jesus, he had a distinct advantage over these Pharisees as he was noticing things. He's the Almighty God. So he knew what they were doing. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what was in their head. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew how they desperately wanted those positions of prominence and how they wanted the world to praise them. Jesus knew everything. He knew what was in their hearts. And he knows that about you and me as well. Jesus knows our every thought. He knows our attitudes. He knows our motivations. He knows how we desperately want the praise and acclaim of this world. He knows everything that's in our heart. But friends, take comfort in that little phrase, he noticed. Because Jesus, as he noticed, he didn't notice like the Pharisees just so he could rub our faces in our mistakes. No, as Jesus noticed, he noticed what the real problem was. That we desperately needed the love of the Almighty God more than we even wanted the praise of this world. And so as Jesus notices what we really need, we see that Jesus, he notices and he wants to be our helper. And that's why he came into this world, right, to solve the problem of our hearts. And that's why he resolutely set out for the cross to pay for our sins. And along the way, he didn't care one bit what people thought of him. Jesus didn't care what people thought of him as they blindfolded him and smacked him and said, "Who is it that hit you, Jesus?" The Almighty God, Jesus, he didn't care what people thought of him as they spit upon him and as they mocked him. He didn't care what people thought of him as he dragged a cross up a hill only later to be nailed to it. The Almighty God didn't care what people thought of him as he was nailed to that cross and as they mocked him and said, "He saved others, save yourself." Jesus didn't care at all what other people thought because the only thing he cared about was you. He cared about making you his own dearly loved child. And with his last dying breath, that's exactly what he did. He made you a child of God. He gave you the love and the acclaim and the praise of God Almighty. Friends, that's what you are, and that's what you have in Jesus. And if that's something that you already have, the praise of God in heaven, then it really doesn't matter what the people of this world think of you. And if that doesn't matter, then you don't need to spend so much time building up your own name, your own reputation, trying to make yourself presentable before the world. And if you don't need to spend all your time and energy on that, then think about where you can spend your time and energy on things that are far more important. Let me give you two applications, two ways that you can spend your time and energy now in far more important ways. First off, you need people to help you evaluate your own heart, the motivations of your heart. The Pharisees, they needed Jesus there to point them to their own selfishness. They needed Jesus to do that. You and I, we all have these blind spots in our hearts where we maybe are doing things that are very godly, that are very moral and upright on all outward appearances. But when you examine our hearts, they're maybe done for very selfish reasons. And so you and I, we need people to help us see that, to see those ways that we are doing things for a very selfish way. You need people in your lives who are going to ask you in loving ways, you know, why are you doing those things? Why do you care so much about your career? Why do you care so much about what people think of you? Why do you care so much about keeping up with the Joneses? Friends, we all have those blind spots. And so spend your time finding people who are going to help you see those. See those blind spots and help you evaluate the motivations in your hearts. And then the second one is very similar. It's you need to help others evaluate their hearts as well, the motivations of their hearts. I'll give you an example of why this is important. A mother, she makes some pretty bad decisions, gets caught up with drugs and alcohol, and as a result, she loses custody of her children. She only gets to see them on weekends for a few hours, and during those few hours, she spoils them rotten. And she gives them nothing but candy and sugar to eat. She spoils them. She gives them all these inappropriate video games to play. And why do you think she does that? Is it because it's what's good for them? It's not what's good for them. She does it because she wants them to love her. Right? She does it because she wants them to think highly of her. And so she spoils them, even though it really isn't good for them. And she needs someone who's going to be there and tell her, you know, you need to look out for the long-term best interests of your children. This is what got you into trouble in the first place. And she needs someone to show her the selfish attitude in her own heart. We all need that, right? We all need to be those people to kindly look at other people's hearts, those people who are in our lives, and help them examine the motivations of their hearts. And these are so important to us, to spend time, you know, having people in our lives, finding people in our lives who are going to help us examine our hearts, being those people who help other people examine their hearts as well. It's so important because deep down when you think about it, we have these hearts that oftentimes revert to a selfish kind of love, a selfish kind of self-love, where we focus on all the wrong things. And so we need a loving helper in Jesus. And that's what Jesus is, right? He's that all-knowing helper who doesn't point out our sins to rub our faces in it. But instead, he helps us evaluate those things. And he loves us enough, even though we have these wrong motivations, he loves us enough to die for us and make us children of God. So friends in Christ, be those kinds of loving helpers to others in your lives. Be those kinds of loving helpers who lovingly point out the sin in another person's life, doing what's best for them, caring for them. Do that because you have an all-knowing helper in Jesus who does that for you. Amen.